Let's go to Isaiah 59. We're still talking about exchanging gods and what our imaginations have to do with that. And so Isaiah 59 is probably the most damning scriptures that Jesus or that God ever spoke against Israel. But it's, in my opinion, he is speaking the same chapter to the church, because I think with the church as a whole and internationally, it's the greatest state of apostasy that the church has ever known. And we can talk about that for a minute if you want to, but anybody disagree with that?
You mean right now?
The real issue is that they are really preaching the gospel of Satan and putting God's name on it, because God wants you rich, God wants you healed, God wants you blah blah blah, and it just denies the mystery of God. Now, I'm not too concerned about what other people are doing right now. I'm more concerned about what we are doing. And so Isaiah 59 is probably a letter to us, if you will. Why? Oh, you were musing, huh?
Wait to see where you're going.
I'm going to Isaiah 59.
Okay, I'm there.
Behold, did I turn the sign? I did. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Anybody think that applies right now? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Is that history? This is something that happened to the Jews?
It's always been.
It's always us.
Yeah. It's daily. It can be a daily struggle.
For your hands are defiled with blood. What does that mean?
Would it be your blood instead of his?
Well, it's more about it. Blood is many times a metaphor for doing wrong. So I think here it's the wider meaning of
I heard in yesterday's talk about your imaginations, and in your mind you're often killing.
Right.
Shedding blood and hurting others.
Self-seeking, judging good and evil.
Well, no, it's blood because of what you do internally with other people. But you,
like you, does, you,
you know, we've talked many times about if you're withholding, you're hating.
What does that mean, withholding?
If you have, God wants us to have in these small groups total and complete integrity and honesty. But if anything is thought, it's said. So any of an instant, so it's never kept. So that, because with, if you withhold, you hate. If you withdraw, you murder.
I've had that with Sue.
No.
Not lately. I pray for it. And it's frustrating because I never hear her say anything positive. I just want to go. I don't.
Remember, I don't want you.
Talks about tell parents.
Right.
But still, I pray for her because I want her to be released from why that is so predominant in her life.
Why don't you pray for that you wouldn't judge her?
That would be good too.
No, it'd be a good only.
And I'll switch to the only.
Well, if you're gonna, if you have aught against somebody, you go to them. They don't hear, then you go and get one or two more, and you have a meeting.
I have brought it up to them.
You brought what up?
What I just said about.
Brought it up in a meeting with Sue and others?
No, with Pearl. One-on-one.
Yeah, but it didn't work. So then you're supposed to bring somebody else right. with you.
You're right. I haven't brought it to her. I haven't felt comfortable doing that.
Well, anyway.
And part of this is like you want other people to change so that you don't have to suffer persecution from their personality or they disturb you or you don't like the way they act or look or whatever you want.
I think there's an element of that. There's also an element that I do care about her. And why is one's life consumed by 90% of what's said negative? But maybe that's not my business. Stop talking about her. All right, I'm done.
Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies. And your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleading for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice or adders. The cockatrice is the Middle East snake, the adder, which is one of the most poisonous snakes in the world. They hatch adders' eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. Now what does that mean? Their works are works of iniquity. Remember, there's iniquity, sin, and trespass, right? Now, why those three works? Iniquity is the fruit of the fall being manifest in you today. That's iniquity.
Is that wickedness?
No, it's iniquity. Iniquity is the fruit, is what the fall is called. It's not the fall, it should be the rising, because you want to be as gods, judging good and evil. But that's your inheritance from all the way back of the human race. So again, this thing is, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. What is mischief to God? Mischief is anything other than faith. It's plans and plots and ideas. That's iniquity. They conceive mischief. and bring forth iniquity. Anybody see that?
Yeah. We studied
mischief is something other than faith.
Last night we studied another word for the leaven is rising. We rise up. We raise ourselves up above others.
All right. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. What does it mean to trust in vanity?
Trust in self.
They trust in the world system, which is vanity. Emptiness, worthwhile, worthless. And they're still engaged in the world system, whether it be politics or anything. They're still engaged in the systems of the world. It's what they give breath to, what you give importance to. That's why it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man is a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. Well, these are laser beams that go into us. But what do we do with it? Do we have a shield that knocks them all away? We constantly protect ourselves instead of taking whatever is theirs from the hand of God. And we protect ourselves from the hand of God. Verse 6, their webs shall not become their garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, because your thoughts are thoughts about, come from the basis of self. Can you see the first thing he said to his disciples? Abandon yourself. Get a divorce from every aspect of yourself. The way of peace, they know not. There's no judgment of right believing. Oh, God. The word for judgment here is the word that means justice. Justice from God's perspective. Okay? The way of peace they know not, and there is no justice in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, wherever they goeth. Whose path, whosoever goeth therein, shall not know peace. Peace of mind, what everybody thinks they want. But the only peace of mind is a that scripture in Luke. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it real quick. Oh, now this is where the shepherd priests let me read it.
Luke what?
It's Luke chapter 2 verse 8. Well, we're verse 8 through some. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. Remember, we studied many times, or at least lately, that these weren't like normal shepherds. These were shepherd priests. And their job, they had 16 towers around Jerusalem at a range of about, I think it was 12 miles or maybe 16 miles from the center of the temple. The law said that if any animal that was set for sacrifice went beyond that 16 miles, or maybe it was 12 miles, I think it was 12 miles. Anyway, their job was to then, any animal that went outside that circle of influence was no longer fit for sacrifice. And so these guys were shepherd priests. And that's the first ones that the angel revealed. And this was to give Israel the first chance, the best chance they had. And because their job was, they reported it back to the Sanhedrin. Probably the morning of that day. And there's some say that somewhere there's a written record of that report, but I haven't seen it. So they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And though the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." Now remember, there were these, much of it was just the geology of the area. But around Bethlehem, where this happened, obviously, there was these, they looked like huge caves because of the way the rock formed. And so these were where in inclement weather or in danger, the shepherds, for the ones that are in that 12-mile radius, they shepherded them into that cave. And then in the front of the cave was where the shepherds slept or were protected. And that's where Christ was. And he was born within the 12 or 16 miles of the temple, which he had to have been. And the manger was a little room in the front, or a little area in the front, where the animals to be sacrificed were kept in danger or inclement weather. And so the idea that he was born in the cave or in the area where he to be sacrificed, I mean, that just blows my mind.
The area where they would be sacrificed for what?
For sin, for trespass.
They did in the temple.
No. Their whole region, anywhere around the temple, they had to be within, I think it's 16. They had to be within 16 miles of the center of the temple. That's so the only ones that were eligible for sacrifice. And so they and those are the areas where the animals to be sacrificed came from.
And Christ was born in that legal area for
sacrifice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We said all this. It's just to say this. Well, not yet say this. This is the sign. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, and this is one of the worst translations in the King James, but they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What it's the better translation says this: the goodwill of God towards men, or the Messiah, is glory to God and is the only peace on earth. The Messiah is the only place where there is peace. And Messiah in you is the only time you'll ever have peace of mind. But he is, his humility is so great, he will not and cannot occupy where you are. The humility of God, the humility of the Holy Spirit, the humility of Christ, we can't even conceive of them. But the idea that they will not occupy where we are is the basis, the fundamental understanding of the gospel. And it shows why your death is the only answer. Because there is nothing worthwhile about you. You're the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And nothing can originate from that Antichrist that has pleasing to God. That's why there's only faith. And so we're reading, and back to Isaiah. The way of peace they know not. And in verse 8. There is no judgment or justice in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Now again, this is what we've been talking about this issue of what's happening in every aspect of life in the world. Is loneliness. It's toxic loneliness. The only place that we can leave that loneliness. I mean, even marriages are just truces. Peace we have not known. Well, we're going to finish Isaiah 59 tomorrow. But let's truly hear and understand what Passover means. You have to see your death on that cross. Not a little bit, a part of you. The death of you must take place. And the evidence the death of you was taking place is in you no longer use the instrument of the instead of Christ. Any response there from anyone? But let's see this at the level we've never seen before with this mystery. Passover really is. It's our death.
the instrument of the instead of Christ?
In your mind. That's the instead of Christ. The word anti in the Bible, it talks about Antichrist, is not a translation, it's a transliteration. It's the same word in Greek as it is in the Bible. And it doesn't mean instead of against Christ, it means instead of Christ. And you are the temple of the living God who is instead of Christ in you. You are. So your number is 666. It can never find peace. That's the state of the human race. Take it, big guy.